गोपीदन वल्लभ गिरिवर धरे जय गोपीदन वल्लभ गिरिवर धरे यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चाहदे यमुना तीरावन चाहदे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय श्री श्री राध वृंदावन छांदु श्री श्री जगन्नाथ भद्र सुभद्रमाय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय द्वैंग्रज भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन गुरु वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग
हरे कृष्णा इट्स अवर ग्रेट फॉर्च्यून टू हैव अमंगस्ट अस हिज होलीनेस भक्ति रसायन सागर स्वामी महाराज हरे कृष्णा महाराज ब्रीफ इंट्रोडक्शन महाराज इज फ्रॉम रशिया अ सन्यासी डिसाइपल ऑफ हिज होलीनेस इंद्रदुम्न स्वामी महाराज ही जॉइंड इस्कॉन इन 1989 and received sannyas order in 2016 in Shridham Mayapur. He is actively working on helping ISKCON in achieving its first purpose and traveling globally for the past 12 years, conducting teaching and training courses based on Bhagavad Gita to encourage unity of faiths, success in applying principles in personal life. Also, His Holiness helps in establishing new social spiritual projects to offer sustainable solutions to various problems of the world. He facilitates IDEAL, that is innovative development to empower authentic leadership school in Shridham Mayapur dedicated to it to this purpose. So let us welcome Maharaj by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Hari Bol. So it's my great fortune to visit Pune again and have wonderful association with so many devotees. Which is our only hope for survival in Krishna consciousness. So with all of your blessings, we'll be reading from the Canto 4, Chapter 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the characteristics of King Puranjana, text 38. ॐ मज्ञन्तिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलोकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदाम्यं ददति स्वपदन्तिकां वंशकौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे बुदय महाप्रेम पुरो विभुर निर्मय क्षतया दमश पुरुष भुक्त गुणान सदस सदसत्मक एवं कृष्ण भगवान वचांसि मे ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय So the text is on board, Hindi only. Or is it Sanskrit? Sanskrit. Okay, Sanskrit only.
Kam nutva danyam ramaye. Kam nutva danyam ramaye. Hyaratigyam akovidam. Hyaratigyam akovidam. Asampara bimuk. Asamparaya bimukam. Asamparaya bimukham Ashvastana vidam pashum Ashvastana vidam pashum Kamnutva danyam ramaye Yaratigyam akavidam Asamparaya bimukham Ashvastana vidam pashum.
Synonyms: come, unto whom, no, then, tvat, then you, anyam, other, ramaye, I shall allow to enjoy, he, certainly, aratigyam, without knowledge of sex enjoyment. Akovidam, therefore almost foolish. Asamparaya, without knowledge of the next life. Abhimukham, looking forward. Ashvastanavidam, one who does not know what is happening next.
Pashum,
like animals. Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. How can I expect to unite with others who are neither conversant about sex nor capable of knowing how to enjoy life without while living or after death? Such foolish persons are like animals, because they do not know the process of sense enjoyment in this life and after death. Purport. Since there are 8,400,000 species of life, there are also many different living conditions. In the lower grades of life, in plant and tree life, there is no system for sexual intercourse. In the upper grades, in the life of birds and bees, there is sex, but the insects and animals do not know how to actually enjoy sex life. In the human form of life, however, there is full knowledge of how to enjoy sex. Indeed, there are many so-called philosophers who give directions on how to enjoy sex life. There is even a science called Kama Shastra, which is the science of sex. In human life, there are also such divisions as brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. There is no sex life except in the grihastha or householder ashram. The brahmachari is not allowed any sex, a vanaprastha voluntarily refrains from sex, and the sannyasi is completely renounced. The karmis do not practice brahmacharya, vanaprastha, or sannyas life, for they are very much interested in grihastha life. In other words, a human being is very much materially inclined. Indeed, all living entities are materially inclined. They prefer grihastha life because there is a concession for sex. The karmis think the other statuses of life are worse than animal life, for animals also have sex, whereas the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi completely give up sex. The karmis, therefore, abhor these orders of spiritual life. Hare Krishna. So this seems to be a perfect sex topic for sannyasi. And it is very interesting that there are many such verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, because it gives us very full picture of what the material life is about. And sex is given so much attention in Srimad Bhagavatam to help us understand that there is nothing else in the world. And this is the only energy, and the truth is that this is the only energy which both material and spiritual world are consisting of. It's called Maya. But material world is called Maha Maya, and spiritual world is called Yoga Maya. And Srila Prabhupada gives an example of energy using the electrical energy. He says electrical energy can be used for multiple purposes, for example, for heating and for cooling. And we can understand that electrical energy can also cause a lot of suffering if it's not handled properly. And so this is the material life. Material life means ignorance. And so there is no understanding of the energy, and there is no understanding how to handle this energy properly. And therefore people are suffering. My spiritual master is giving an example of someone's grabbing onto the life wire. This is the example of attachment, that people are suffering, but at the same time they cannot give up, right? Because electric current has such properties that it, paralyzes you and does not allow you to let go. And so it only takes the mercy of somebody else who will unplug or stop the current flow to help with the relief of the suffering person. And so in the same way, we are attached to the material life, which means desire to enjoy sex, which is, as we understand, the perverted love for Krishna. And it takes the mercy of somebody else, mercy of the Vaishnava, who will unplug, stop the flow of current and give us a relief from the misery. And so this is what's happening when we come across Krishna consciousness. We come across the Vaishnavas who are mercifully unplugging us from the material life. But at the same time, say like electric current, can we imagine our life without electricity? It's pretty hard, right? Because it gives so much benefit. In the same way, in Krishna consciousness, as opposed to material life, we learn how to properly handle the same energy, understanding that it belongs to the Supreme Lord. Because the desire to enjoy is natural. Ananda Mayobhyasat, the Supreme Lord, is full of bliss, and we, as his parts and parcel, require the enjoyment. We cannot live without any enjoyment. And so the greatest enjoyment in the material world is sex enjoyment. And therefore, as Prabhupada mentions, that materialistic people, they abhor the idea of giving up sex. And even in most of the religious traditions, there is no idea or there is no scope for any renunciation. It's very interesting that, for example, in Judaism, monastic order does not exist at all. There is only one ashram for them. That is family life. That's it. Because they don't believe it is possible. Because indeed it's very rare for someone to give up sense gratification for the sake of the Lord's service. But in Judaism, if someone is not married, such a person considered to be a failure. One who couldn't figure out, what life is about. And we can see that in many other traditions, like in Islam, it's almost absent, renunciation. Very, very few exceptions. In Christianity, it gradually disappears as well. Many Christian denominations, they also deny renunciation as a legitimate position for practicing spiritual life. And pretty much it's only in major Indian religions, as they are defined, renunciation is still actively practiced. That is Hinduism and Buddhism. And so, Vaishnavism being the origin of all Indian religions and origin of all spiritual practices, we can say it's pre-Hindu tradition, Vaishnavism. And actually, Srila Prabhupada rightly defines Vaishnavism as spiritual science rather than a religion, because Vaishnavism existed when not a single religion existed on the surface of the earth. So we are practicing the original spiritual culture of this planet. And therefore it has nothing to do with any religion. And at the same time we can see that certain elements of Vaishnavism can be found in any tradition, because the effects always carry some traces of the origin or some features of the origin. And therefore, we need to understand what's our position towards sex. Are we for it or against it? And the truth of the matter is that we are neither. We're neither for it nor against it. And it's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada says, the karmis do not practice brahmacharya. And he doesn't say celibacy. Because if he would say celibacy, it would not be true. Because there are karmis who are totally celibate. There is even a group which is very active now, and it's called anti-sex group. And these people, they don't claim any religious belief, any spiritual affiliation. These are just mundane people, and they could be even atheists engaged in other types of sense gratification like smoking, drinking, and eating meat. But they feel greatly repulsed against sex, and they propagate their views, and they invite other people to join them, etc. So we can understand that brahmachari or vanaprastha or sannyasi is not like that. It's not the person who hates sex, as opposed to materialistic people who love sex. So love and hate being the duality, and we're talking about so-called love, material life, being the duality of the material world has nothing to do with spiritual life. And so, if we are asked, what is our attitude towards sex, we can say very frankly, I owe my life to it. Because without sex, there is no life. And we would never get this human form of life, right? Which is so conducive for spiritual advancement. And so, therefore, Krishna says, Dharma viruddha bhutishu kamosmi bhartarshaba, that sex life, which is not contrary to Dharma, is myself. I am represented in this way. At the same time, he says that the cause of procreation is Kandarpa. So lost. And therefore, since time immemorial, of course, Vedic scriptures describe the subject very clearly. But then even later philosophers, they were extensively explaining the topic of love. For example, Greeks, they were recognizing three types of love. And the lowest type of love, which is widely accepted by most of the people, is called Eros. So this is erotic desire, which means lust. So this is not real love, even though it is promoted as love, but it's not real love. So we understand that it is lust only, which is all-devouring sinful enemy of the conditioned soul. And the higher type of love in Greek philosophy is defined as philos. So philanthropical activities, for example, are connected to this type of love. So it's love towards humanity. So this is philos. And the topmost love is defined as agape, and that is love towards the Supreme Lord, so which is the same as bhakti. And so what is the system we were mentioning, that we need to understand this energy, because this is only one energy, one maya, for both material and spiritual worlds. And so spiritual advancement means understanding how to deal with this energy properly. And we may ask, what is the system of dealing with this energy? And so we have these three aspects in our tradition, which are called Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. And Sambandha is knowledge of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. Abhideya means practical activities to develop those relationships. And Prayojana means the topmost goal, which is Krishna Prema, developing pure love for the Supreme Lord. And we can see that the scriptures are also explaining the philosophy, and of course our scriptures highlight the goal, but there is also Abhideya in the scriptures. And what is Abhideya? And that is the example of the behavior which is shown by the great devotees and the Supreme Lord himself. And that is called culture. And that is the connecting point between material and spiritual. And it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, when he was saying about the wide spreading of Krishna consciousness, he was not referring to religious beliefs. He said Krishna consciousness will conquer the whole world by two means, and one is education and the other one is culture. And we can understand that education is theory, but culture is practice. So we can understand that the greatest benefit we can bring to human society is by introducing the high culture in spiritual culture, right? Culture of Krishna consciousness. And we can say that between the two, culture is more important, because if you have culture without education, like in India, you can see many cultured people, many refined people, but they are lacking knowledge. They are doing the right thing, but they don't understand the purpose behind and the reasons behind, and so it's quite easy to correct. You just give them the right knowledge and they become high-class devotees immediately, right? But if someone has knowledge but doesn't practice culture, that creates terrible example. That someone speaks about the right things but is not doing the right things. So it's not a good example. And therefore we're saying that if we are to focus on one thing in our lives, that should be culture. And we can see that practically, if we want to conquer lust, it can be conquered only through proper culture. Because lust means focusing on ourselves only, right? And doing what we want and not caring for anyone else. That's the definition of lust. And the first step in culture is respect. And so respect means I shift my focus from myself towards other people. And so next step is appreciation, seeing good in others. And next step is care or service. And of course, the topmost step is developing our loving relationships. And of course, we meant to develop our loving relationships with Vaishnavas. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends, because we need love, and if we have real love, you know, it's very simple, that the proportion of our real love is defining how much lust we have. The more love we have, the less lust we have, and other way around. And so by developing the real love, we can become free from false so-called love in this material world. And in Vaishnava family life, it works very wonderfully, that the more spouses have respect towards each other, appreciation towards each other, and serve each other or facilitate each other in serving Krishna, the faster they advance and develop their Krishna consciousness. And so, therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami highlights the importance of loving relationships between the Vaishnavas. Dadati pratigrinati guhyama kyati prichati mungte bhajayate chaiva sadvidi priti lakshanam. That by giving and receiving gifts, by revealing our heart in countenance and sharing and listening to confidential words, and by giving prasadam and receiving prasadam, Vaishnavas developing their loving relationships with each other. And if we're not focused on this, then the other option is what Bhagavad Gita describes, dayata vishayan pumsa sanghas teshupa jayate, sanghat sanjayate kama, kama krodha bijayate. And then krodha bhavati sammoha, samoha, smriti vibrahma. Smriti brahma, buddhi nasho pranashyati. That we can understand that if we're not properly engaged in sadhu sangha, we'll be forced to be engaged in asat sangha, right? Sangat sanjayate kama, the sangha which produces lust. And this lust, of course, produces anger, and anger eventually destroys everything good in our life. And so we have these two options, like Krishna says, Mama vartmano vartante manusha partha sarvasha, everyone follows my path in all respects. And so this is the same path, the same energy. And we can follow this path either upwards or downwards. And so therefore, if we want real love, which is the param drishtvani vartate, the higher taste which can replace the lower taste in our consciousness, then it's really important for us to focus on the loving relationships with sadhus, with Vaishnavas. And therefore, if we look at the description of a devotee who is very dear to Krishna in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, then the first three items listed there are Advesta Sarobhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha. First item is that one is not hateful or envious of anyone. And second one is that one is friendly to everybody. And third, that one is compassionate. And so we can understand that tendency towards envy or enmity, whom do we normally envious of? Those who are above us, right? Those who are better than us in any respect. So these people become objects of our envy. And we can see that, you know, low people, nobody is criticizing them. But if someone is very high in human society, then there are so many newspaper articles and all kind of, you know, discussions going on about these people who have any type of higher position in the society. Then everybody wants to find fault with them. Very interesting. So, which is based on envy, this, which is the main reason why we're stuck in the material world. Because we're envious of Krishna, and therefore we are envious of anyone who was blessed by Krishna with anything we don't have. Maybe we have that thing, but that person has more than me. So I'm very envious of that person. And this is the part of my envy towards Krishna. Because Krishna gave the blessing to this person. So because I'm envious of Krishna, I'm very critical of someone who has anything better than me, anything more than me. But devotees are free from that. Devotees are those who are free from envy, nirmatsara. So, and that means we have, as Narad Muni explains to Dhruva Maharaj, that we're supposed to have respect towards those who are higher than us. And with equals, what should be our attitude? Yeah, firm friendship. And with juniors or those who are less fortunate than us, compassion. So this is where Krishna consciousness starts. With perfect relationships with seniors, equals, and juniors. And if that is in place, then one can afford nirmama, which means not claiming anything. Absence of any claims. Whether gross claims, objects, or subtle claims, any positions, etc. Position, that's something which is on great demand in the material world. People want position. The higher position, the better it is, right? The higher position, the longer the fall. It says that it's not the fall which is the worst thing, it's the end of the fall which kills you. Right? But people want to have as high position as possible, so perhaps that they have longer fall. But the higher we are, you know, the more dangerous it is, of course. And therefore, Vaishnavas are not interested in any high positions. What they are interested, the lowest position, dandavat. That's the best position Vaishnavas want to enjoy. Let me be at the bottom and serve everybody else. Dasa anudasa bhavitasmi bhuya. Let me serve all the servants of the Supreme Lord who took shelter at his lotus feet, as Vritrasura says in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, compassion. And so, yeah, someone who has these perfect relationships, one may afford not claiming anything grossly or subtly, and nirahankara, not considering oneself to be a doer of any activities. This is what I've done. Not claiming even that. And then samadukha sukakshami follows naturally. One can be equipoised in happiness and distress. And so this is really important, that Bhagavad Gita gives us all the remedies for every single trouble we face, and that's why it's the greatest manual for human life, regardless of one's caste, creed, religious affiliation. It's very practical knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And therefore, scriptures explaining to us principles and also details for everything, what to do and what not to do, and help us to make the right choice. Hare Krishna. So, if anyone has any comments, questions, suggestions, complaints, yes, Prabhu. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
So, you mentioned in the class that by two things, education and culture, Krishna consciousness can take over the entire world. So, can you elaborate on this culture aspect, like what all things we need to practice and propagate so that ultimately the Krishna consciousness can be spent all throughout the world?
Yeah. I was thinking about very practical example of growth of Krishna consciousness in Russia. Of course, it's easy to understand why Krishna consciousness is so popular in India, because India is the land of Krishna. So naturally, it's interesting enough that even Muslims, they celebrate Janmashtami. Even Muslims love Krishna in India, so naturally, Krishna consciousness will be very, very popular in India traditionally, there is no doubt. But many people are surprised how come that Krishna consciousness grows in Russia leaps and bounds, why it is so popular, because, I mean, this country is predominantly Christian with some Muslim following and little bit of Buddhism, but Krishna consciousness is not perceived as traditional for Russia, and yet there are so many people who accept it and follow it. And, you know, some devotees are asking, is it book distribution or Harinams which are the reasons for the growth of the popularity of Krishna consciousness in Russia? And I have to tell them, no, neither book distribution nor Harinams. Actually, these are educational and training courses conducted by a group of devotees who have been professionally trained primarily in psychology and also in health, right? And so one of them is a medical doctor who started giving practical education for people in healthy lifestyle. It's interesting that one American doctor, devotee, he also got inspired. He said, you know, what I am doing, even though I'm making good money, and of course in America doctors are very well paid, some of them are multimillionaires. He said, I'm not giving people health. You know, I'm claiming to be in health services, but what I'm actually doing is disease management. So I'm tired of this. I want to actually help people properly. And so now he's shifting into, you know, educating and training people in a healthy lifestyle. And of course, being oncologist, he's seeing the horrible effects of, you know, wrong lifestyle, which is connected to wrong consciousness. And so this Russian doctor, initiated devotee, he decided, okay, let me go in this direction. And he started educating people about healthy lifestyle and healthy relationships. And he became madly popular. And so many people, and there is one other aspect of him which is very interesting. Actually, he's been heavily criticized by many devotees, even though he is accountable for 80% growth in the movement in Russia. You know, like tens of thousands of people became interested and started practicing Krishna consciousness because of his influence. I mean, his YouTube channel has millions of views. And he affected Russian people not only in Russia but all over the world with this education and training. And he's criticized. I heard this criticism that what he is doing is no preaching because he never mentions Krishna's name in his classes. And I was really confused. How come that he never mentions Krishna and so many people take up to Krishna consciousness? And I decided to watch his class on the internet. And it was really confusing. Because he's sitting there, and after each sentence, he says something like, God speaks in Bhagavad Gita. God says in Bhagavad Gita. God explains in Bhagavad Gita, you know, like mentioning this all the time. And I'm thinking, is he talking to devotees? No, these are brand new people. And of course, you can imagine how confused people are. You know, like, what is Bhagavad Gita and who is God who speaks Bhagavad Gita? And all the class long, they keep wondering about this, you know, because he talks about very exciting topics, but then he always refers to this mysterious God who speaks Bhagavad Gita. They never heard of. And so naturally, they keep wondering, what, you know, let me read this Bhagavad Gita. And then, you know, it's quite predictable what are the results. But it's interesting that he's really honest, that he says openly, it does not matter which tradition you follow, as long as you truly follow this tradition. And he said, of course, yeah, he stresses the importance of God consciousness. And he says, the most important thing is that you find a living saint in your tradition and you become his direct follower. You associate with him and you do what this living saint tells you. And many people come to him very confused and they say, we could not find any living saints in our tradition. What do we do? He said, okay, maybe you could try Hare Krishna for change. So yes, that, you know, he's very straightforward. Because Krishna is God, so he's not cheating people. And he's very open. He says, you can take any tradition, but you have to find living saint in your tradition. So, which is also true, right? Without sadhu sangha, how can you advance? And so, this is one. And the other one is a group of devotees who are professional psychologists and very good at it. And they conduct self-help courses to help people to solve their problems. And naturally, they connect everything to Vedic culture and ultimately people discovering that, okay, these guys are all Hare Krishnas, okay? Maybe I could also like do something, practice some of that. And so many of them become devotees in this way. And so this is the proof that because the Russian devotees figured it out and they started promoting and training people in the aspects of culture, they increased people's interest towards Krishna consciousness and towards spiritual life. So that's one very interesting example of how our movement is spreading practically in a foreign soil, we can say. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, my question was that regarding our day-to-day life, many times we come across some people. So generally we develop a critical mentality because we are like following devotional culture, but these people, they don't follow devotional culture. Or so while preaching, we sometimes develop critical tendency towards them, and we see them that sometimes like we see that they don't take bath or something they do, we become critical towards them. But while preaching, compassion is required. And how someone develops compassion rather than being critical for that person? Because criticism is at all against.
Yes. Well, criticism means envy, right? And, you know, sometimes if we examine our heart, we can discover that we're actually envious of these people. We think, you know, like, they don't follow any rules and regulations. They live their life free of all these pressures. And I'm following these rules and they don't even worship me. And so how come? Right. So there is always, if we're critical of someone, then, you know, the reason is envy. And of course we can see that our acharyas also criticized and condemned things and even people. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada was also critical. So, but it is different. In the same way as, you know, Krishna's dancing with other men's wives in Vrindavan is not lust. So in the same way, criticism of the great acharyas is not based on envy, right? It's completely different category. It's actually based on love, which manifests as compassion. And there is very interesting example of Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples gave. He said that they were traveling together in a car through central London, and Srila Prabhupada saw so many people doing, shopping. It was Saturday, and Saturday in London is very famous shopping day. You know, everybody is running like crazy, trying to buy as many things as they can. And Srila Prabhupada was looking at all this madness out of the window of the car, and he said, these people are fools and rascals, they live like animals, they don't know what they do, etc. And this disciple, he was thinking Srila Prabhupada's really angry at them and criticizing them, but when he looked at Srila Prabhupada, he saw that tears were flowing from his eyes. So actually Prabhupada was very compassionate. And yes, sometimes anger, criticism is anger, right? Anger can be manifestation of love. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that the best example for us to understand what is love for God, or the closest example, is love of a mother towards child. And so if mother sees a child doing something which is very harmful for him or her, that mother will become angry. But this anger is not based on envy or malice. It's based on love, because mother wants the best for the child, and that's why if the child is doing something for self-harm, mother will become angry just to help to rectify the child. And so in the same way, sometimes guru can be angry with disciple, but this anger is meant to rectify the disciple, and because disciple is in subordinate position, he is benefiting from that. But when dealing with people who are not subordinate to us, we have absolutely zero right to be angry and critical against them, because it will not serve any good purposes. It will just destroy relationships, right? And so effectively we'll cut ourselves from the opportunity to help them at all. So that's why we need to have this discrimination, which is the best part of valor, as Prabhupada was saying. So we need to have this discrimination of how do we behave in different circumstances and with different people, which is exactly what culture is teaching us to do. Yes? Thank you. All right. So last question, if anyone has. Okay, we can let ladies ask. If someone can pass the microphone over to that side.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful class. As you stressed on envy, so my question is regarding that. Obviously, you said we shouldn't be envious of others. The thing is, sometimes we have a feeling that someone else is envious of us. So in that case, what should be our responsibility? I mean, we can make out with their behavior and changes in them over the period of time.
Okay, if someone is envious of us, what should we do, right? Or how should we react? Well, the first reaction, we should be very happy that we have someone others are envious of. Which means we have certain Krishna's blessings they don't have. So, and the second one is, well, we should show compassion towards them. If we have opportunity to influence them in any positive way, we can. But if the envy is too deep, then our compassion will be shown by not associating with them, cutting our relationship with these people, so that we do not agitate them any further with our presence or yeah. And so that let them cool down and calm down. For some people, this is the best position. All right? Is it helping? Thank you. And thank you very much for your wonderful, exemplary hospitality and culture, which is one of the best on the planet. And of course, because you are closely related to Chaupati Temple, I can see that it's the same culture and it's the same direction of thinking, which is the most progressive thinking at the moment in our society all over the world. And I'm very happy to have the opportunity of your wonderful association, and please bless me so that I could serve Vaishnavas further on in my travels, and they would be happy with my service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for such a wonderful class.
Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So, there is prasadam for all after this Bhagavatam session is over. So, please do take the opportunity to honor Sri Krishna Prasadam. We also want to take this opportunity to thank all the GBC College participants who had come from all over the world. This is their last day at the learning or the training session. And today, tonight, tomorrow, early morning, most of them would be leaving back to their places. So we take this opportunity to thank all of them for giving us their valuable association and extending themselves in some of the other things that we offer them to do in our community. Giving Bhagavatam classes and going visiting certain other programs. And we also want to thank Maharaj for being there with us on the concluding day and extending himself as well. So let's once chant Hare Krishna mantra, expressing our gratitude and happiness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we look forward to having them once again in September, October for the next residential as well. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.